nothing more important than the Word of God, and we got to get to that. So in Joshua 24, verse 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, and He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt, consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, say he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man and to his inheritance. I didn't get the notes to William there today. We got a second string running the equipment back there. But the title is Decision Determines Direction. Decisions determine direction. The key verse, verse 15, familiar to us, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Israel had, here's where Israel's at right now. At this point in their history, they have defeated all the enemies that were round about them when they went into the promised land. They claimed that land. They received their inheritance. They're settling down into their homes. They're getting in the groove, the routine of life. And it was a time of prosperity for them, a time of hope, a time of blessings from God. But that became a dangerous time. See, this is, you know, when we got a crisis going on in our life, that's really not a dangerous time for Christians, because most of us know, hey, man, we need to pray to God. We need to get on our knees, and we got to trust God. And sometimes you got to trust God, because there is nobody else to trust, right? We've got to do that. But that's not as dangerous as a time as when everything's going smooth, and the prosperity's rolling. You know, we got money's coming in, no crisis in our family life, no crisis on the job, no crisis anywhere around. I don't know if that's ever going to be the case. I mean, we just look around nationally, we got plenty to be worried about. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is the time when we get in dangerous ground spiritually as far as our relationship with God, and we have the danger of forgetting what we came from, what God brought us out of, like they did. There was a danger of that. And so actually, in the chapters leading up to verse 14, Joshua had been reminding them about when they were in bondage in Egypt and how God brought them out and how they went through the Red Sea and how He defeated their enemies and how He got them in. He reminded them about all that, because there's a danger of forgetting who they were, forgetting what they were. We have a danger of forgetting that we're a child of the King, that we're a child of God, those of us that have trusted the Lord, that we're saved, that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we represent Christ to this world that's out there that's not going to church, that's not reading the Bible, that we represent Christ as we walk through this world and how we interact with people and how we talk to people and how we love people and how we help people. We forget about, you know, we don't want to forget about that, what we are, who we are. That's who we are, as saved people. And so that's, you know, and I think it's not a bad idea to review that every once in a while. You know, go back over where God brought you from, where you were, when you got saved. He brought you up out of that miry clay in there. So there's always, like I say, the danger of complacency, the danger of indifference. It's killing churches all over the place now. We get settled down. We get stagnant. We fall away. We go in the book of Revelation, look at the Laodicean church age, and what was their problem? They were lukewarm, and they were blind to their own spiritual condition. Well, buddy, that happens to different people. Not always a whole church, but sometimes individual people in the church, and sometimes a whole church. We get lukewarm. We're just satisfied. We're complacent. We're not hot. We're not cold. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth if you're not hot or cold. He said, but you know, he'd rather have you cold. Why? Because you get cold enough, you look for a warm spot, right? You get dead enough in your spiritual life, you might look for a prayer advance to go to. Huh? You get dead enough in your spiritual life, you might crack the Bible open and maybe I ought to read this thing, God's word, you know, to us. We'll look at that. And so Joshua, he issues a challenge to him that day, and he said, listen, choose you this day, today, make a decision on whom you're going to serve. Just, you know, they had been come out of idolatry. We understand that. We got our idols too. Trust me, it's not the same kind they had, but we got it. Entertainment, money, pleasure, you know, everything. There's gods out there, man. We might as well polish them up. But they, you know, he said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. I just got 3 points I'm going to lay on you about this right here. Number one, there's a decision. We see a decision has to be made. There's a lot of people, man, there's no neutral ground with God. I was never in my life a person that had a problem with God. I didn't hate God. I wasn't an atheist. I wasn't even an agnostic. I mean, I believed that there was God. I always believed that. I didn't have a problem with God, but I never made a decision for Christ. I never made a decision to follow Him. I didn't know about that. You know, so we can say, well, I'm not against God, but, you know, I'm not really for Him either. I'm kind of neutral. Nope, there's no neutral ground. The Bible teaches that. You're either for Him or against Him. Jesus said that about His own self. You're either for me or against me. Everybody does worship something or someone, because we just got that in our, we may not look at like it as worship, but we can be, let's put it this way, everybody is devoted to something or someone somewhere along the way. And so the Bible says, you know, look, it's like this. If you simplify it far enough, right here today, people watching on Facebook, you either saved or you lost. There's no neutral ground. Amen. You're saved or you're lost today. You sitting right here, you on Facebook, you're saved or you're lost. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. If you're not saved, you're lost. And you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, we're either on the road to heaven or on the road to hell. We're either in the broad way or the narrow way. The Bible's real concise on this. It's not a lot of, you know, debate about that. There's a false doctrine out there in the world today that says that everybody is a child of God. Jesus don't teach that. I mean, in the sense that God is the creator of man in that sense, but not everybody's a child of God. Jesus told certain Jews, he said, ye are of your father the devil. You were of your father the devil. They weren't believing in him. They weren't trusting him. In 1 John 3:10, he says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. There's two groups right there, the children of God and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, goodness, is not of God. Whoever doesn't do it. In John 1, in the book of John 1, 12, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, that you can become a son of God. That's the good news right there. But the problem of today is that there's people sitting in churches everywhere, and they're trying to hold on to the world, and they're trying to be neutral. They want to hold on to the world with one hand and God with the other. And so when we get in, and then it's play the game. We come to church and we sing the hymns and we open up a Bible and it sits in our lap. Never open it up the rest of the week, but we open it up on Sunday. We carry it into church. We sing the songs when they come up. Sometimes we sing all the songs, and then boy, by the time they get home, they already got cussing coming out of their mouth. By the time Monday rolls around, man, they got language that should never come out of a child of God coming out of their mouth. The Bible says bitter water and sweet water don't come out of the same well. It doesn't come out of the same spring. It doesn't happen. And so here it is, running around, drinking all week long, drugging all week long, fornicating all week long, then walk into church on Sunday morning and think, hey, I'm a child of God. No, you're not. If you're not doing righteousness, you're not a child of God. You deceived yourself. And so there's two, you know, it's one or the other. You have to be one or the other. The Bible says you can't serve two gods, but that's what a lot of people try to do. You're serving one or the other. You're holding on the world. I'm going to tell you what, if you're holding on the world, there's your God right there. Because the world will always take the place of God. You just watch and see. Oh, preacher, man, I was going to be down there at church, but this came up and that came up and so-and-so showed up and this event and that event and we got to do this and all that. Huh? They got the gods out there, you know, polish that baseball trophy and polish up this thing and that thing. And these are the gods, man. Joshua said, choose. He said, choose and live and die with your choice. You're going to live and die with your choice. What do you think about all that stuff that we hold on? If we're not holding on to God, all the stuff you hold on to, what's going to matter on your dying day? What's going to matter when it's like the last breath, man? You know, there's people, I've sat with so many people when they were about to pass over, and I'm telling you what, 90% of them knew it. They knew that this was it. They knew the time was up. God spoke to them. They knew they were about to go. Huh? Boy, your whole perspective changes when that happens. So we have to make a decision. That's just the way it is. There's a decision. And you know, somebody was talking about it, said, well, I hadn't made a decision for Christ. Well, you did make a decision, though. You made a decision not for Christ. I'm not going to make a decision today. No, you made a decision. You made a decision not today. You made a decision for the world, the devil, if you didn't make a decision for Christ. See, by not, some people think, well, if I don't make a decision, and you know how hard it is to get a decision out of anybody today. If I don't make a decision, then I'm not making a decision. Yeah, you made a decision not to make a decision for Christ. That's all that really matters. You made a decision for something else. That's it. The second thing we see is devotion. The second thing. Joshua said, look at this. I just paid this a little attention. It says in verse 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whom you will serve. It didn't say, choose you this day who you profess. Choose you this day whom you're going to worship. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Huh? Whom you will serve. Well, what'd they say? Verse 16 through 18, they went on to say, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers. Notice this. Brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. They're naming off what God did, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people that through whom we passed. So they listed off a bunch of things. But look at this. Now here you go, Leonard. This will go along with, you know, and I know what you were talking about, but everybody can't serve God. I mean, you could. There's the possibility, but everybody in their present state may not be able to serve God. Look what it said in verse 19. Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. You can't. He said, choose you this day whom you serve. And they said, we'll serve the Lord. And he said, nope, you can't. There was something wrong. And he said, you can't serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Why? Why do you think he wouldn't forgive their transgressions or their sins? Because they didn't repent. They wouldn't repent. See, that's got to go along with faith. All you got to do is go right down to verse 23. Look what he says to them. He tells them up there. Well, he told them in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. And after that he had done to you. But now he said, now in verse 23, now therefore put away, saith he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart, because they had a heart problem, incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. In other words, you got to repent and incline your heart to God instead of the things that are in the world. You can't serve God. No, sir. You can't serve God. And not everybody, and here, this is what? These were the people of God in the sense, the national sense. And they were standing there saying, oh yeah, the Lord, he's God. Like we all do every Sunday. Yeah, the Lord, he's God. But he said, you can't serve him. Because you don't want to repent. There's a lot of people that make professions, and I've said this before in different services and probably to you guys too. Nobody in their right mind is going to say, I want to go to hell. So if I say, well, listen, do you want to go to hell? And you say, no, well, you need to get saved. Okay, I'm going to get saved. But if I say, listen, do you want to get saved? Yeah. Well, listen, you can't come to God and hold on to the world, and you got to get all that sin out of your life, and you got to quit all them habits that you got going on, and you got to let go of all this other sinful stuff that you got going on in your life, and you know you got to turn from that, or whatever God's just taking what you away, whatever takes you away from God is your God, by the way. I mean in a practicing, you know, practicing way. If I say that, then you can get saved. Well, let me think about this. And we probably need to do that. Let me think about this for just a little bit. A lot of people make a profession, but they don't have an inclination towards repentance. But repentance and faith in God. I mean, if you get saved, what are you getting saved from, for Pete's sake? You're getting saved mainly for what I see this. We think about, well, we want forgiveness. We do want forgiveness. We're being saved from the power of sin. Yeah, we are. But we're being saved from ourself. Ourself is why we sin, because we're sinners. We got to be saved from ourself. We need a transformation to take place in our life. God's got to deal with our heart. He said, incline your hearts, right? Not your mind, your hearts. You can have your mind in the right spot. Everybody here has probably got their mind somewhat in the right spot, or you wouldn't have got up in the freezing cold and got all your stuff on and got the car warmed up and drove down here on them roads that had snow all over them, and you pulled up in the right thing. You got your mind right. It's, is your heart in the right spot? It's got to get your heart straightened out. And so he said in verse 23, incline your heart. That Hebrew word means to stretch out, to bend, or to turn towards. That's a what? A deliberate choice. Right? There's a choice right there. Some people don't think you have one, but you do. If you didn't have a choice, then no responsibility could be placed on you. And so we do have a choice. Turn your mind, your heart, your soul towards God. And then there's the active, he said, put away. In their case, their big sin was false gods. They had to put them away. And listen, it was just as addicting as anything else is out there in the world today. Anything else that could cause them. They said, here. Now listen. They went on to say, he told them, put away. And the people said in Joshua in verse 24, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. How do you think that turned out? Huh? How do you think that turned out? You know, verse 17, you know, he went on and listed a whole bunch of things that God had done for them. And you know, they ended up failing. If you go, we're almost at the end of the book of Joshua here. The next book that comes up is Judges. And when you get to chapter 2, all you got to do is get to chapter 2 in Judges. And guess what it says? That they forsook the Lord God. The same group of people, huh? They forsook the Lord their God, and they started serving other gods in Judges chapter 2. It's only, I'm on the last big page. I got a little piece of a couple of verses on my next page. And then the very next page, Judges starts, and then you just go a couple pages in your Bible, you're in chapter 2, it's no time at all, huh? Hey, they said all that, and Moses went up on top of the mountain to get the law from God, and while they were up there, they were down there worshiping a golden calf. He hadn't even got back. I mean, he wasn't gone but 40 days, for Pete's sake. 40 days, and he's up there talking to God for 40 days and nights, and in 40 days, they made a golden calf, started worshiping that, huh? And so, you know, but look what this, and I talked about this, and I want to share this with you. They said, this is why they were going to serve him in verse 17, for the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which he did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way. We're going to serve him because he did that. Now, last Sunday we didn't have service, so I did at 11 o'clock roughly. I did a little devotion thing, preached to you a little bit on Facebook. If you go to if we ever have a big snow, I'll try to do something 11 o'clock on Valley View Baptist Church Facebook page. You can just look that up. But I was reading a book A.W. Tozer's got, and he had this thing, it's called The 3 Degrees of Love. Why we love, how we love. And the first degree was the love of gratitude. And that means we love somebody because what they have done, you know, because somebody did this, you know. And he pointed out, he said, that's a right love. It's biblical. It's right, that first degree of love is the love of gratitude. You know, we love what God has done for us. God accepts it. But it's the basest, most base love that there is. You know, hey, if you scratch my back, I'll love you. If I scratch your back, you'll love me. See, it's good, it's right, but it's a base thing. It's conditional. It's often dependent on our memory. And you know, the next love was the love of excellence, and where we realize how great God is, and then there's a love that doesn't have any because in it whatsoever. That's what I talked about. It's just when we just love God, you know, and it's not because of this and that and the other thing. It's agape love, that's how God loves. He doesn't love in conditional love. And so that's why Joshua reviewed their history in 1 through 13, because they said, we're going to serve God because of what he did. But you know, it's so shallow. And what happens? We forget. The great example in the Bible is when the Israelites had come out of Egypt, they'd been in slavery for over 400 years, and God delivered them out of Egypt with Moses, and they weren't 3 weeks out in the wilderness, and they started thinking back, and they said, man, that God done brought us out here to die. Boy, I remember all that good food we had when we lived back there in Egypt. We remember all that. We wish that we had just never been come out of Egypt. I'm paraphrasing it for you. And they done forgot about 400 years of being slaves. All they can remember is they had leeks and onion. I ain't sure what a leek is, but I don't want one of them. But a leek and onions and this and that and the other thing. They wanted these things. And that's how our memory works. So if we only love God based on what God has done for us, memory being what it is, we'll forget about it. Next thing, it won't be as big a deal as what God did for us. We need to learn how to love God just for what God is. God is love. Listen, if you're filled with God, you're going to love. Doesn't have any. How does God love you? God doesn't love you because what? Because of your goodness? Huh? Because of your faithfulness? Huh? Because you've done something for God? What are you going to do for God? God doesn't love you that way. God loves you unconditionally. That's unconditional love. When you love God that way. And you can't love God that way without God. So you got to have the Holy Spirit of God in you to love God the way God intended for us to love him. Huh? I mean, that's it. So, wasn't long, like I said. They said, oh yeah, we're going to serve you. Weeks. Just weeks. They didn't serve him. So God calls us to make a decision. And he calls for our devotion. Devotion is a pretty deep word. But our devotion and our decision is going to require repentance, a putting away before we can serve God. We can't serve God until we put some things away. So, you know, the question would be, before the last point, is what's your decision? How's your devotion? Well, you can evidence that by direction. What direction is your life going in? What direction is your life going in? I like Brother Scully. He preached a message about some things. He said the psychologists watch people when they interview them, and they kind of try to determine when people are lying, especially, say, like in police work. And they said one of the ways they can tell is that wherever the door is, like if I was sitting here and the door's over there, I kind of have my feet when I'm sitting down pointing towards the door because it means I'm ready to go. You're ready to go. They watch your body language. Where are your feet? What direction is your life going in? Joshua's death, like I said, is recorded in the next couple of verses. And before Joshua, you know, Moses was the leader. And when Moses was about to die, then God told him that Joshua would be the next leader of the people. But when Joshua was about to die, God didn't name a successor. God didn't tell him, hey, this is who's taking over. So Joshua died, and what happened was the elders of the people, the elders that were with Joshua after, they guided the nation after his death. But like I said, you only go just a couple chapters in the book of Judges and see what happened. And did God know all that? God knew all that. God knew. You say, hey, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. God knows. God knows. They forsook the Lord, and they went after the false gods of the nations around about them. They failed to keep their promise, and they failed to teach their children. Listen here, dads, moms. They failed to teach their children and their grandchildren to fear the Lord and to serve the Lord. Look at America today. What's wrong? Parents and the grandparents have failed to teach their children and their grandchildren. And we think about our generation. This is our generation. This is our time. And a lot of people, listen, parents are sacrificing their children on the altars of the world. They'll take them, lead them, guide them, buy things, give them everything under the sun. Huh? Take them to every sporting event, outfit them with $500 baseball bats and $600 baseball gloves and gold-plated cleats and all that to get them to the baseball game. But, man, anything and everything that has to do with God, well, we'll see. Nothing comes up. We'll get them there. Sacrificing your children on the God of this world. Biggest God is self. But note what it said in the last part of our text in verse 26. It said, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and God took a great stone and set it up under the oak, and it was in the sanctuary. It was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said, this stone's going to be a witness. And even them, he told them up there before that, he said, your words are going to be a witness. They said, we're going to serve the Lord. Your words are going to witness against yourself. It'll be a witness against you. And one day, the Bible tells us there are going to be books opened up on judgment. We stand before the Lord one day, and the book's going to be opened up. God knows what you said. So we think about it. You know, what's your decision? What has been your decision? Whom will you serve? Who are you serving? What direction is your life going? What direction? Devotion required and included in repentance is required in devotion. It wouldn't be a devotion. You wouldn't be devoted to God if you're devoted to the world. So your decision determines your direction. You're going to serve the world? I'm going to tell you what direction you're going. You're going to serve God, I'll tell you what direction you're going. You know, it's life and death. It's a life and death matter. Joshua said, after me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like the fact that he called the shot. He didn't get Junior and Susie or whoever and say, hey, what do y'all want to do? What do y'all think we ought to do? Y'all want to serve God? Do you want to go to church today? God said, no, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He didn't vote. It was a monarchy or a theocracy or whatever. You know, he said, we're not voting on it. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. He made a decision because it was a life and death decision. You know, so that's the question for us today. You know, what's your decision? Where's your devotion? What direction is your life going? That's the evidence. Right there. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for everybody being attentive and listening to this morning. Help us all to think, you know, help us all to make a decision for you, Lord. Greatest decision ever made in my life, Lord. So thankful I got saved when Danielle was a baby, and before Kyle came along and had my family going in church. Lord, I know you had a big learning curve with me, but Lord, I wish I'd been more faithful as an early parent. Lord, I wish I'd just been more dedicated to you, Lord. But I'm thankful you didn't give up on me. And I pray for my family every day and pray for these people every day, Lord. But help us as men, our men, especially as men, Lord, the man of the house, the head of the house, the household, Lord, help us to make decisions that we're going to serve the Lord and we lead our families to you. And Lord, have you. So I pray now you have your will and way here. We have an invitation, Lord. May we need to come down around the old altar and do some serious talking to you, Lord, and praying here today where we can get serious with you. And again, just pour your spirit out on us, Lord, so we feel your presence here this second. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.